Hey, before we jump into the show, I wanted to give you a heads up that my free YouTube strategy class is available right now on demand at thinkmasterclass.com. On the class, I reveal the one YouTube strategy we use at Think Media to generate over 330,000 views every single day. So if you're new to YouTube, this will help you start right and avoid mistakes. And if you're a YouTube pro, this training will help you multiply your growth. This class is 100% free and you can watch it now on demand at thinkmasterclass.com. Now, let's jump into today's show. You mentioned this term trust recession.
We're at the lowest point of person-to-person trust in the last 40 years. A Google study that came out where they released what they call the 7-11-4 rule to turn a stranger into a buyer. I'm not optimizing for views.
You're optimizing for the right people watching it.
Exactly. The basic rule is that the more exposure someone has to you, the more they trust you. The more someone trusts you, the more likely they're going to make a sale. There's this transition going on in the marketplace online, and those that are jumping on it are really capitalizing, and those that aren't are kind of getting left in the dust.
The simple fact is marketing is changing. In fact, a lot of what used to work just doesn't work now. And there's some staggering stats coming out that really reveals that we're in a trust recession. So how you're creating content, building sales funnels, even approaching building an online business right now is changing. And my guest today on the Think Media podcast is Ravi Abuvala. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Sean. I appreciate it.
Did I hit the name right?
You nailed the name. That might be the one of the best. I'm on like a podcast tour. And when you said that, you took a second to pause, you let it build up, and then you just nailed it right after that.
Fired up. And I was on your show recently,
yes.
but grateful because you've got 78,000 subscribers on YouTube. You're on other social media platforms, but you're also running a multiple eight-figure business per year online. You help people build end-to-end marketing systems. We're going to talk a little bit about some unique YouTube strategies that you're applying, some stuff that's radical. And for anybody that especially is a little bit more professional-minded, they've got maybe already a product, a sales process, funnels, they're doing email marketing. There's some major stuff that's shifting that you're doing. And then I think in part two of this conversation, we're going to talk a little bit about maybe some of your principles and just what has led to some of this success that we can all apply. And so let's dive straight into this though. You're here at Social Media Marketing World and you're speaking, but last night when we connected, you mentioned this term trust recession. Break down what's happening right now in culture and how that can influence what we do as YouTube creators and business owners overall.
Yeah, it's a good question. And it's funny, like you had said, we were literally sitting down last night. I said the word trust recession and Sean was like, stop. So he's like, stop talking about this right now. Come on the podcast tomorrow. Let's talk about something else. So yeah. We haven't even really dived deep. So I'm super excited about it. But a recent study came out by the General Social Survey, which is the largest and longest trust study done in the world. And it showed that we're at the lowest point of person-to-person trust in the last 40 years. And it kind of reflects what I see. Like you said, we work with thousands of businesses. And right now I'm noticing really low lead to booking ratios, really low accurate contact information when people are opting into funnels, really low show up rates, low close rates, high refunds, chargebacks. And the stuff that was working 3, 4, 5 years ago, even some of the stuff that I used to do, which was like ads to a VSL, book a call and get a sale, it's not really working as much as it used to. And if you combine this with a Google study that came out where they released what they call the 7-11-4 rule, which is 7 hours of content across 11 touch points in 4 different locations to turn a stranger into a buyer, it starts to show that there's this transition going on in the marketplace online. And those that are jumping on it are really capitalizing, and those that aren't are kind of getting left in the dust. And so what we started doing is I used to be like a guy that put all my best content behind opt-in pages and like secret underneath, like it was you had to pay me money to get some of the stuff. And so about 12 months ago, I was like, all right, if I know that people need to consume content before they're ready to become a client. And if I know that we're at the lowest point of person-to-person trust in the last 40 years, and the best way to build trust is through exposure, then what if I just put all of my best content online and let people get exposed to it on their own? And I kind of turned YouTube into like my entire marketing department, right? Which has been transformational. And I know you wanted to talk about some of the stuff that we're doing for our business. And it's really helped us, like I said, increase the quality of the sales calls, increase our show up rates, increase our cash per close, increase lifetime value. I mean, we track all of this stuff in there. So it's been like a radical change, and we've started to do it for our clients as well. But ironically enough, the core of the whole thing doing is actually YouTube. That's like where obviously that you're a master at. And I've been doing YouTube for a few years, but I never really took it like, all right, this is our main like driver of growth for our business. And so about 6 or 8 months ago, I was like, okay, we're going to make YouTube our main strategy. And then everything else we do, ads, everything else is just to send more people to YouTube. And that's what we've done.
So I want to get into tactics. And then there's this whole other thing of there's like the videos you're doing. There's some of the marketing videos you're doing. But I want to go back to the 7-11-4 rule.
Sure.
So if somebody's going to apply that, just hit that because you hit it fast. If you, what is it you want to achieve online, Think Media Podcast? If you want to, you have a product, you have a service, and as you build your business out, so your goal is to eventually make a sale and get some kind of conversion. How does that apply to the 7-11-4 rule for content creators in terms of like what they need to publish and how it needs to be consumed that leads to a conversion?
Yeah. So it's really interesting because like, you know, I don't look at you, I don't look at it as like YouTube and sales funnels and stuff. I'm like a first principles kind of guy, right? So the basic rule is that the more exposure someone has to you, the more they trust you, the more someone trusts you, the more likely they're going to make a sale, right? And really the more, the higher the price of your product or service, the more trust is required for that sale, right? And so for me, I'm in a high ticket business. So I need more trust than maybe somebody selling something for $7. And a lot of, before what I used to do is like, I used to have to force trust on people. So I would try to like run ads and I would sit through this 2-hour webinar and like I would put them through this one-way sales funnel. And what I've learned now is that through the 7-11-4 rule, it's like, okay, people aren't just going to watch anymore one ad, one VSL, like, and just do 3 touch points and get on a call and book. They really need to be exposed to different content on different platforms, some of it owned by you and some of it owned by other people. So for example, some people look up our Trustpilot, right? So they'll see an ad, they'll opt in, they won't book a call, then they'll see a YouTube video, they'll watch 2 YouTube videos, they'll click a link in the email, then they check us out on Trustpilot, and then they'll book a call to speak with us, right? And some of that's really well tracked, and some of that we just know from talking to our clients. And so the old way of like one-way sales funnels and forcing content consumption, I think is kind of dying a little bit. And now what you really need is like this plethora of content that covers, you know, different aspects of what you're selling, but also to what we were talking about last night, different aspects of who you are and like kind of that personal relationship side that you can build with somebody. And the reason why we use YouTube for the majority of this is 7-11-4 rule is because YouTube, it's like, most people go to YouTube to be entertained and educated. And I've studied and made thousands of sales letters. The best sales letters entertain and educate, right? And so if I can combine what people are going to YouTube for, they're going to watch a video and it's 70% of me educating, entertaining, and the last 30% is me making a soft pitch. That's worked really well for us. And then YouTube has built-in retargeting. So they watch one video that they see of me, which is a video sales letter. They don't book a call, but then next time they're on YouTube, suggested video that's mine that's coming up next. And so all of these are leading up to that 7-11-4 rule that we were just talking about.
And what was the 7, the 11, and the 4 again?
Yeah, so it's 7 hours of content exposure across 11 different touch points in 4 different locations to turn a stranger to a buyer. So 7 hours of content is obvious, but 11 different touch points would be like 11 different YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. And then 4 different locations would be like YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Trustpilot, email. Those are the 4 different like channels or locations that they would be on.
Yeah, so business owner, LinkedIn, Yelp,
anywhere that, yeah. And some of them
Google,
you own
Google reviews.
Exactly.
And it could be, oh, I saw you on another show and saw a side of you, somebody else's podcast. 100%. You're here now. So those are locations.
Exactly.
Touch points is the different YouTube videos or different formats. Could be written, could also be audio, could be video. And what's super interesting about that, and then 7 hours. So if you're listening to this, do you even have 7 hours of content? I kind of want to pivot into a change you made that ties into this, which is you're changing up your thumbnails and even your content. What are you doing and why are you doing it?
So we were talking about this a little bit last night, but I have a really strong belief that like, if you can't do it for every day, don't do it for a day. And I have over 850 videos on YouTube. And so I've done the whole like vlog style stuff. I've done the high production stuff. I've done the really highly edited jump cut stuff. And all of it's really great. And some of it actually gets me more views than other views. But about 2 years ago, we started tracking in our description of our YouTube videos, specific links that let us know which YouTube videos people came from that ended up in calls and sales. And what I saw was a direct correlation with the longer the video and really the more in-depth, less jump cut edited like crazy graphics, the higher the chance that someone was going to book a call and close. Because if someone's going to listen to a 1.5 hour video of me walking through like this sales funnel, they're pretty much my ideal avatar versus somebody that like needs to see me doing 800 things in 30 seconds for them to stay, pay attention to. So for me, I decided, okay, we used to have an 18 person media team because we did a bunch of ads and a bunch of stuff. And I was like, all right, let's just clean all this up. One of my values in our company is simplification and systemization. So I was like, if this was simple, what would this look like? And so for the past, I don't know, let's say 90 days, all I do now is I turn on Loom on my phone or on my computer, and then I pull up a Google document and I literally just film a piece of content from that Google document. And it's boring. There's no like crazy transitions and hooks. And the other part, what you said about the thumbnails, was like, okay, I keep on having to find thumbnail designers and they were charging me all this stuff and some were good, some were bad. I said, all right, if this was simple, what would this look like? So I was like, what if I just put a photo up? Just literally a random photo of me, maybe with somebody of status like you or somebody else that like I have a photo with me and them. Like if I was doing one on YouTube, I might put a photo of you and I up, right? Just a regular photo. And that will probably get clicks because of you and of me, and it's about YouTube. And so I did that most recently with a video that I just did, and it actually beat out my last click-through rate of the edited one. We published one today of a podcast with Jeremy Miner and I, and we just put like very, like I think it's like two words on the thing, but it's just like a regular photo that also has like a 7.5% click-through rate, which for us is pretty good. So I'm just going to continually transition to like, okay, how can I simplify this stuff? Because for me, it's not necessarily about how many views I can get, but it's like how much exposure for my certain niche audience can I get through that 7 hours?
Powerful. So the tactics here is we're used to kind of seeing these overproduced YouTube style graphic design thumbnails with text in them, or really, again, graphic designy AI, and you're uploading stripped down thumbnails of a photo.
Yep.
And then even the content itself, you're going just kind of off the cuff, but you're also going tactical. You're going deep. And I want to highlight, you also said, if I can't do it every day, I don't want to do it for a day. So if you have to step into a style that is not unique to you, or it's out of your, you know, zone or whatever. In fact, you know, unpacking something we were talking about last night, you on your channel have massive views on how to set up ClickUp and how to use LinkedIn Sales Navigator. And you were saying like, one, if all you wanted to solve for was views, and we even teach this kind of stuff, because if that's what you want to solve for,
yeah,
then if you find the right topic and you get around something that's a tool, a specific product, you can rank a video for it, you could get seen for it. But then you started asking like, okay, but who's my ideal client? So then also, even if views are lower, if you are reaching with authenticity and what you really want to talk about and some of this tactical business operation system stuff, bottom line is you're tracking sales.
Yeah.
You're tracking. And then you're also kind of tapping into this trend. It's almost getting overplayed now, but authenticity, kind of the stripped down trend. But to give a visual for our listeners, the first kind of video you did this was also a video on why I stopped drinking, was the title. And to be fair, you're in a photo, it looks like in Vegas, with like two
beautiful
women with like a drink in your hand.
Exactly.
But it's just a photo.
It's just a photo.
Yeah, just that photo. And obviously it's a compelling title as well, but this unpacks this whole conversation of this trust recession and maybe, or also the 7-11-4 rule, because why I stopped drinking would seem to have nothing to do with how you help people build marketing systems. But using Hyros, by the way, for those wondering, is the tool that you track individual YouTube videos that lead to different sales or calls booked. This video led to a couple calls.
Yep.
And why do you think that is?
Because like we had talked about a little bit last night, it's like, and I mentioned it earlier, it's almost like those 11 different touch points and 4 different locations. You could look at it as well as like 11 different like types of marketing, or 11 different exposures of you and your brand. So if every video I ever made was like, here's how to book more sales calls, here's how to book more sales calls, I'm sure I would get sales and calls from that. There's no doubt about it. But there's also 8,000 other people yelling at the same thing on YouTube doing the exact same thing. So one of the things that I talk about of why I believe that this, so we call it the self-sustaining funnel. All of this that we've been talking about in one thing, it's called the self-sustaining funnel is our trademark term for it. And what I tell other people is like, okay, today there's no doubt about it that the competition has never been higher. You know, if you go on YouTube, there's so much content out there. And so what you have to do is figure out what's your one unique thing? What really separates you from everybody else? And so some people might say client success, or I love my clients, but that's not unique. No one's going to say I hate my clients, right? So that's the same as everybody else. And when I really started going deep in this unique mechanism concept, I was like, okay, we started building it for other clients. But the problem is that to truly get something unique, for example, this self-sustaining funnel, it took me 4 weeks to come up with that idea. But instead I said, okay, what's something unique that everybody has, that like literally every single person has something unique? And I realized it's their brand. It's who they are. You're unique. You can teach YouTube and I might learn from you because I relate to you as maybe like a new father. I want to be a father one day. And like, you know, even some of the stuff we were saying yesterday, how you've like systemized your business, prioritized family. Like I love all that stuff. So I might look to you to get a question answered versus somebody else who may even be, let's say, arguably a greater expert in some way or capacity. I might go to you because I can relate more to you, right? Because you are your brand. And YouTube, once again, is a great way to build a brand. So for me, I sat long and hard. I was like, okay, what if the unique mechanism was just who I was? Going back to, if you can't do something every day, don't do it for a day. If my unique mechanism was that I did this insane YouTube video where I went up to strangers on the street and asked them how they did, like, that's great, but that's not really something I want to do every single day. But if my unique mechanism is I'm just a simple dude who like is able to film these simple concepts, but I have mastery of this one topic and I can just cover a wide breadth of topics. Like today I did one on collaborations, like why I talked about our dinner last night, then you invited me on the podcast today. And so like, I just filmed it in my hotel room. And it had somewhat to do with making sales calls, but also not a lot at the same time. And so I think that if you really boiled it down, it's like, okay, you really want to try to be unique in your business and in your marketing. And the easiest way to be unique is to be yourself. And that's why I'm doing these videos that are maybe not like my sales team's like, why are you making a video about alcohol? That's not going to get us sales. And I'm like, no, actually, I really do think it will, because it's relating to the people that have seen 80 other videos of me. They never booked a call, but here I am coming out and talking about my childhood, you know, my exposure to alcoholism in my family. And I'm opening myself up and relating to these people. And they're going to definitely watch that content and then potentially be like, okay, well, he's an authentic person, to your credit of what you said. Let me book a call and maybe join his stuff.
So I think to unpack this is why it's so powerful. I think this is the missing piece for 99% of people listening to this.
Would you like a free copy of the number one best-selling book for growing a successful YouTube channel? If you want to get a copy of the new and expanded second edition of YouTube Secrets, just go to ytsecrets.com. And if you'll cover shipping and handling, I would love to send you this book for free. And the cool thing is, when you place your order, you're also going to get access to some bonus resources like our 1,000 subscribers club, our 7 C's framework, our perfect video recipe framework, as well as some bonus videos that will help you get results on YouTube faster. So to get your copy, just go to ytsecrets.com or click the link in the podcast show notes.
Well, I think this is the missing piece for 99% of people listening to this. One, I think everybody knows it's like you have to establish your authority and your expertise and actually know what you're talking about with that kind of content. You said, sure. But then like once that's established, you might think, but what am I missing? And then you have this idea of making a video on my professional business channel about why I stopped drinking. Man, that doesn't make sense. And your sales team is like, that's not going to convert, but it actually is what converted. Because number one, I would say first, many people that have been following you on the 7-11-4 rule, they're 6 hours in to your expertise, your authority. Okay, he knows what he's talking about. But I'm maybe still trying to figure him out too. And I'm watching a few other people. But then there's a piece of content that you're just being yourself, something that as an experience you've gone through, and you share that. And that's maybe the moment that that individual connects. And so if you're listening to this Think Media podcast, you might be thinking about what are your values? What are your principles? What are your life experiences? And even to take that deeper, you know, there's actually a book I bought. It's the most expensive book I've ever bought. I paid $2,000 for it.
Oh, wow.
It's called Magnetic Story Selling by Russell Brunson and Dan Kennedy. So it's like a premium book. I actually recommend, if you're a professional watching this, I'll link it up in the show notes. That's an expensive book. I mean, yeah. I gotta, but it's pretty fire, and it's like a textbook. It's kind of interactive. And then it's also that kind of the marketing. I'm a book nerd.
Yeah.
So it was like the book I had to have, because that's like one of the only things I collect. I'm like, dude, $2,000 book, bro. I got to pick it up. My wife's like, what are you doing? Was it worth it? I think so, but only it would depends on, you know, because by the way, one idea in businesses like ours, if you're established, one insight, one tweak to a webinar, to a sales page, can you make $2,000?
Huge unlock.
Oh yeah. So that's why I would say if you're listening to this, it might be worth checking out if you're maybe further along. One of the insights was Dan Kennedy breaks down that for most people, there's only 10 to 20 things you'll ever be like a master at. I mean, it's probably one category, but he's like, your spiel. Think about experts. Like, if they listen to you for a while, they're going to hear your 10 to 20 things. So the only possible longevity in this industry, the only possible longevity for a content creator cannot only be that you're known for like how to use LinkedIn Sales Navigator or even YouTube tips. You have to tap into your narrative, as Russell Brunson would say, is the attractive character.
Yep.
We're talking about the personal brand. If you're not storytelling, then there's not going to be that connection. People will come and go and maybe see a video and maybe even purchase something. But what does it actually mean to only have short-term success as a content creator for a year or two or three versus even decades? And Dan Kennedy did that through newsletters. And great email copywriters also tell great stories, right? And they have like soap opera sequences and whatnot. But it's kind of fascinating. This is actually why I like the book is almost you wouldn't think that you would apply it to YouTube, but it's the most applicable thing to YouTube because how do you actually create a career? So again, if you start tapping into why I stopped drinking, I've been doing some stuff about like myself as a Christian content creator or advice to Christian content creators. And for some people, they're confused. But man, it is so connecting deeply with also, by the way, it's just being who I am.
Yeah.
But it's like the level of depth. They're not the most viewed episodes, but I think that's the shift is like they're the deepest connection point because my passion for the Bible, my passion for my faith. And so all that to say is for what it's worth, I'm always growing and learning, but I've also seen people in the comments that like, man, I followed you for 6 years, for 8 years. And to be fair, of course, we're always trying to be on the bleeding edge of trends. And the reason people subscribe to this podcast is because things always change. So there's a reason to stay in it with the tactics. But again, I would massive love to any of our community that's like been rolling for years. I think the connection's deeper than the tips. You 100%. Can go anywhere for the tips.
Yep.
It's the person, it's the stories, it's the principles, it's the values. And as people navigate, they also might get a tipper here too, but they're like, man, I don't really, it's not my person, that's not my vibe. So anyways, that's really emphasized. And Dan Kennedy breaks down like, you know, that we should study fiction and even like Marvel characters because they have built careers where we follow them also not just for their successes, but the secret of Marvel was their flaws.
Yeah.
That every character had a weakness, that Superman, DC, but kryptonite. And that was an unlock moment that we can't relate to somebody who's only a superhero. What is their kryptonite? But anyways, I'll pass it back to you on just this idea that why I stopped drinking would seem to never lead to a business marketing SaaS systems conversion, but it's the very thing that would. And so I think that, again, it's the missing piece for a lot of people. And that's kind of the why. But how do you do it? Like, what do you think the percentage of, I think if you only started just riffing on stuff unrelated to your business, that would also not work.
Sure.
So what are you going forward as far as thinking about this trust recession? You're implementing some of these things. You're thinking about your content strategy, but are you only ever going to talk about like fitness now? Or how are you going to figure out like the blend?
Yeah. So I'm glad you asked that question because I was like literally where I was going to go with where you were going with your statement. And that's, I'm a systems guy, right? So like I have to figure out, I can't just be ad hoc doing things. Like sure. I have to be like, okay, what is going to be the system that I make sure I stay consistent with this? And so the way that I kind of bucketed this stuff down is now my content's going to fall into one of really four different categories. One's going to be like trainings, mini trainings, courses. And that's what I'm like, Google document. Here's our $25 million hiring and onboarding system. Like, boom, here's the value content. And that's going to be really where people learn my expertise, right? The next one is going to be what we were just talking about here. I call them story or ranting videos. And they're ranting videos. I just shot one when I was in my hotel a moment ago, and it was about collaboration. And it wasn't scripted. It wasn't like I was like, I was messing up all the time. Like, but I was just being authentic. I was being real. And it was in relation to the real stuff that I'm going through right now, which is just all these amazing collaboration opportunities I've had in the past few days. And I say it all started from me just saying yes to one phone call, and it led to all this. The other type is, ironically enough, collaborations. So like, that's something that I'm noticing more and more. There's a lot of value in that. Naval Ravikant talks about four types of leverage: content, code, capital, and collaboration. A lot of people see collaboration as just employees, but I also see it as like this right here, right? Mm-hmm. You've built an amazing audience over the years, and now you're interviewing me. And so you obviously think that I'd have some value to add to your audience. And so your audience might come and check out my stuff. So that's another type of content that we do as well. And the final one is case studies. That's what another one that's been really huge for sales and calls is that we literally take one of our clients on board and are on a Zoom call. And I just riff through like a few questions that I ask them. And at the very end, I'm like, if someone's watching this video, they've been watching 7, 8, 9 videos by me, right? So I'm going to that 7-hour rule. And I'm like, they still haven't booked a call to speak with me yet. What would you say to them? And of course, every time they're like, what are you doing? This has been life-changing. Book a call. And so I literally, if you look at my channel, you'll see it's like Monday is to typically business core stuff. Wednesday is personal collaboration, and Friday is always a case study. And so that's like the system that I've made around this so that I can stay consistent with it. And then I keep all my notes, all my content ideas on my phone under notes, and I just have it bucketed in those four categories. And so depending on the day of the week, I film content on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, first thing in the morning. Depending on what day it is, I'll just film that style of content and then I'll just riff it from there.
Well, people can steal your buckets, but I would encourage listeners to create their buckets. So
sure,
smart.
Yeah.
What are your 3, 4, 5 buckets? And then that right there is the key.
Yeah.
It's then the mix.
Yep.
And then people are getting a mix of what it means to have a personal brand, of what it means to be building a personal business brand as a content creator. So I want to come back because you really have hit some high level tactical stuff that kind of went so fast. And I want this to be captured by our community. And really, there's something you're doing in regards to opt-ins aren't working like they once did. People are putting in fake information. The trust is so low. So linear funnels are not working like they once did, like this expectation that someone will opt in and then watch your web class and do your thing. And you actually kind of revealed a secret of actually one of the biggest entrepreneur YouTubers, Iman Godzi.
Yeah.
That really, I don't think people are realizing and they're not seeing. And I think in some circles of marketers, he probably hasn't hit the radar. As big as he is, he's, you know, kind of new wave, a younger guy. And he puts out basically video sales letters directly on YouTube with no opt-in. That's the secret. And one of his videos was 10 side hustles you could start right now, with the 10th side hustle being the idea that he can help you with most.
Yep.
Starting a social media marketing agency. So that was some free game right there. Just even that insight of something you could research, you could check out that video. But I think, again, the big idea, not to just hammer it super hard, but if you're listening to this and you're a traditional marketer, there's some things maybe to relearn and rethink about. You've put a video on YouTube that is essentially a VSL. So just to make it plain and simple, because this is new to some of our community as well, what does VSL stand for and what do you do in the video?
Yeah, and I want to touch on what you talked about with Iman for a second, because we were talking about last night. Like, all I do is study other marketers all the time. And anytime I see, like, I literally look at people's YouTube views on ads and their face. So I like, okay, this person's doing well. What are they doing? So I deconstruct like hundreds of funnels a year and marketing systems. And it's not just Iman. There's a few other guys. Hamza is another guy like that. And they're like, using YouTube and short form traffic to drive to YouTube. And then they use YouTube videos. And if you look at the descriptions, all of their descriptions go to one video, and all of those videos, that one video is, looks like a regular YouTube video, but it's really what you had said, a VSL, a video sales letter, which I'll talk about here in a moment, where they're making an offer. And it goes kind of back to when we talk about the 7-11-4 rule. If you really think about it, no one's going to consume 7 hours of content of you pitching them. Nobody wants to do that, right? But will they consume 6 hours of content of you providing value and then 1 hour of content of you just start pitching? The answer is absolutely. I mean, I did an event in Miami. We did $1 million in an hour because I did like 2 days of full teaching value and then just 1 hour of like, hey, if you guys want us to do this for you, this is how we do it, right? So people were happy to pay me money and happy to listen to that pitch because I'd already provided whatever that is, let's say 18 hours worth of content in addition to that. That was pure value. But you can't run events all the time. So how do you, once going back to systems and leverage, how do you do that on a massive scale? You do it through YouTube and content. And so one of the things that we started doing was we took video sales letters. And so for those that don't know, a good video sales letter is like where you're saying, hey, here's how you learn this one thing that you really want to learn about. It's unique, remember? So like this thing that they've never heard of, it gets them that in transformation, this desire that they really want. And so they're going to click on it and watch that video. And 80% of the video is you showing them what this new opportunity is and how it's different than everything else. And the last 20% of it, you're pretty much pitching it. And so for example, for us, our video sales letter on YouTube is how we book 20 sales calls a day using a self-sustaining funnel. So that self-sustaining funnel is that unique mechanism that we talked about before. I just made that word up, self-sustaining funnel. It's not anywhere else online.
Yeah.
Obviously it's what we're doing, but the actual name of it I made up because honestly, I'm just great at copywriting.
Yeah. It's good branding.
Yeah. It's a good brand. Exactly. It's great for branding.
And that's a whole separate unique mechanism is great for selling IP and
exactly. Like, and to separate yourself from other people.
Separate yourself, brand your proprietary process, yes. Unique mechanism.
But you don't even have to do funnel. That. You can do what Iman did and just be like, yeah, these are great. 10 great side hustles that you do. And then it's like 9. He's like, yeah, these are pretty good. And he's like, the 10th is social media marketing. And by the way, it's amazing for all these great things. Oh, and if you want, I teach people how to start and run a social media marketing agency. And of course, at that point, they've already watched an hour long video. They probably watched 2 or 3 other videos. So it's a natural progression to go and buy his stuff, right? So a lot of
people- And what you're saying happens is now it's not sending them off platform. It is doing a sales presentation, soft selling, but right there.
You could kind of hard sell. I hard sell. Sell. Yeah. I mean, if you look at that video
right on YouTube,
he's hard selling on YouTube. And once again,
what's the offer price?
It's, I actually don't know. I think it's $2,000.
What's your offer price?
$15K.
But on YouTube.
Okay. So I'm not saying $15K on YouTube. Okay. I'm saying book a call to speak with us, but okay. I am going through like, here's everything we'll do for you. It's not like, oh yeah, we'll help you grow your business. It's like, okay, here's the timeline of us working together. Here's what you get access to. We build this. So, you know, if you look at my retention, the watch time, it plummets at that, right?
And sure. But even if it drops to 10% or 5% of 10,000, yeah, it's 500 people or 1,000 people.
And you have to remember, I'm not optimizing for views. I am not optimizing for retention.
You're optimizing for the right people watching it.
To buy. And here's some interesting stats, right? So we also run another huge taboo thing. We also run discovery ads on YouTube to our video sales letter, to our YouTube video. And, you know, a lot of people say it tarnishes the channel and it might. I don't know. I'll figure out. I've been doing it for 4 months, but I do know for sure that it's bringing us sales. And so here's an interesting number for all of the listeners here. YouTube gives you 2 metrics when you're running YouTube discovery ads. One is the average cost per view, and the other is what they call an earned view, a cost per earned view. So cost per view is obvious, how much it costs for someone to watch 5 seconds of your video. The cost per earn view, YouTube's the only platform that does this. And it is after they watch that one video that you sent them to, that you pay to send them to, how much is it costing you for them to on their own go watch another video on your channel? So going back to that 7-11-4 rule, you're pretty much figuring out how much does it cost you to get someone to watch multiple touch points.
And if your video is good, you're only paying for the ads ran on the one video. But if you can make that cost per earn view as low as possible,
and you're getting that.
Then you're getting continued depth of the 7-11.
It's a binge watching. And there's like a few tactics and hacks that we do and we work with our clients to like almost force YouTube to suggest the next video that comes up. But even just the simple like, okay, after this video, check out this video. But to give you some numbers, our average cost per view is 16 cents. Our average cost per earn view is 28 cents. To show you an interesting number, obviously I've spent millions of dollars in ads and video sales letters, et cetera, et cetera. That same video sales letter behind an opt-in page, if I were to run Facebook ads to it, costs us about $25 for a lead to opt in. And then we have a 50% play rate, meaning that 50% of people will click play on the video sales letter. So it's costing us $50 for someone to watch that video versus the 16 cents it's costing us on YouTube. And if they don't book a call from the regular sales funnel on Facebook, well, then we lose them, right? Maybe we have retargeting, but that costs more money. But on YouTube, they're
going
to watch another video right after that.
And nobody is doing this marketing tactic, which is, whenever people run YouTube ads, which is what you're talking about now, paying for ads on your VSL that's on YouTube. When everybody runs YouTube ads, it's what's called a dark post. You see it as a pre-roll ad, but it's not live on their channel. You have made your VSL, this YouTube video that adds value and makes an offer, public, and it's sitting on your channel so it can have organic reach and organic impact. But then you're running ads on it, so you get best of both worlds.
Exactly.
And for the listener that's wondering, like you said, does it hurt your channel? And you asked me that, I couldn't give you a clear answer. I said that YouTube employees say it does not. You heard YouTube employees say there's two algorithms. I said, I don't know if I believe there's two algorithms, because paid ads might drive down your average view duration and your watch time.
It definitely does.
It definitely does.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Because you're showing it to strangers as opposed to the people that love you. But if there's two algorithms, then they would say that they're keeping the metrics from organic and paid separate. I don't know if that's true. We'll have to report back. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast for deep dive combos like this. But nevertheless, from your vantage point, you're already, you're tracking ROI, period. You're tracking book calls, you're tracking business metrics, and this thing is crushing. And it is getting organic reach. It is reaching new people. You are paid and able to reach cold traffic, meaning people who don't know you. And not only that, you're then also getting earned views.
Yeah.
So rather than, to your point, the old way of doing it is this expensive way of like moving people off the platform and somewhere else. And they not only, they opt in, but it's fake information. So it doesn't even matter. And they opt in, but it goes to junk and spam and they never see it. And they opt in and email deliverability, and they opt in and they start the web class. They don't even watch it. But there's so many other things that can happen here because of your term self-sustaining sales funnel. Because again, maybe they don't finish that video, but they are distracted and check another one of your videos out. Who is this person? They're kind of researching you on the side. And the numbers you just shared in a paid acquisition world?
Yeah, huge.
16 cents.
When I show other people that are like in my world, like of paid ad, they're just like everyone's like, how are you doing
this? This is
you
crazy.
I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, that's wild. Anything else on that before we transition there?
No, I would just say so one of our values is radical transparency. It might hurt my channel in the long run. I don't know. As of right now, we've been running it for a few months. I haven't seen any difference in my average views per the videos that I'm publishing. There might be a little bit of a slight dip, but there's also, I think, a slight dip because I'm putting out that content that's not as edited, the content that's just like whatever I want to talk about, not what the algorithm wants me to talk about. To your credit, if I did a video on how to use LinkedIn Sales Navigator tomorrow, it'd be my number one video. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
Instead of like how we're using collaborations in order to grow our business. But we already covered about why I'm switching it. So like you said, I think it'll be good for even maybe if I come back on this podcast in like 6 months or something like that to like report of what this thing, where people just look at my channel, they can see the differences. So I think that's the only caveat. I know you have a lot of content creators. This specific self-sustaining funnel, in my opinion, works best. What I tell people for business owners that are trying to use content to grow their business, maybe not people that are content creators that are trying to use content as their business, as that's, they're somewhat the same, but sometimes
they're two separate things. Yeah. Because if you're using content, then you're probably thinking more brand deals.
Exactly.
Maybe trying to build Patreon, AdSense. And so you maybe do want to rank a video about Sales Navigator because the CPM and the RPM would be high and the video gets watched for years to come.
Yep.
And it pays you a few $1,000s. But to what you're talking about, like that's not even a game you're playing. You're playing an entirely different game. Side note, that's actually, there's a good book on that. That's about like, you need to define what game you're playing.
Yeah.
One of the worst things you could do is like, you're looking at somebody else who's playing a different game than you and trying to implement their tactics, like trying to apply basketball to baseball. You got to know what game you're playing.
Yep.
Now you said, and that's a great idea to have you back on the podcast. One of the reasons I love you is because you actually have real data and some stuff that we could look into, but you mentioned one of your principles, radical transparency, which I appreciate. Just as this best definitely been an open book, you know, getting into the weeds behind the scenes of your business. As we land the plane, I mentioned in part two of the conversation, we talk about principles in general. So we're not really talking about YouTube. We're talking about life. We don't have time to go through. You have 42 principles.
Yeah.
You read a book by Ray Dalio called Principles. And if we love books at the Think Media podcast. And so we'll always have those in the show notes. That inspired you to write your own. And an action item to think about as you're going through this is, what are your principles, Think Media Podcast? What are the principles? What are your guiding principles? Have you ever thought about articulating them? Have you ever written them down? And so I want to hear a couple of yours, but where this came from is a story that might make some people uncomfortable. And it was also funny. And I actually, I knew how most could perceive this, but it actually was an inspiration to me. And it was this. I said, hey, we came to social media marketing world. Kyle and I are checking into the Omni and I'm like, we're going to meet up last night. And you say, I'm like, hey, let's grab a soda water. Cause I saw your video. Why I stopped drinking too. So, and I drink like once, you know, a couple times a year or something. But, so I was like, let's grab a soda water at the Omni. And you were like, you know, let's go someplace. You're like, nah, man, let's go someplace nicer, Fifth and something. And, so I'm like, all right, cool. So we checked in. So I went over there. So we were able to connect for an hour. As I sat down, I'm like, why aren't you staying at the Omni? And you're like, you know, I got there. I looked at it and I was like, no, this is below my standards. So I checked out and I went somewhere else. And you didn't tell me why, but I asked you today and I guessed, and I was like, is that kind of like something in your life that you've done because, you know, you get what you tolerate in life and you've raised your standards, and has that affected other areas of your life? And you're like, yeah, I'll only take Uber Black, I'll only do things. Now I know half of our community is already offended. Like, how pretentious, but what the principle, I think listening to this is something to pay attention to, because a lot of people settle. They have low standards for how people treat them. They might have low standards. How you do anything is how you do everything. Yep. Like whatever car their car is a mess. They wish they could have a nicer car, but they need to throw away that fish Olay package in the back seat. There's grime all around their thing. Like your desk is a mess right now, your home office. And so even you could use the word stewardship, even your stewardship, this idea of standards. And so it hit me and I thought, man, my standards aren't that high. Dude. I might check into a hotel or get into, dude, I'll take Uber X, dog. And obviously your business is massive and whatnot, but Uber business is doing pretty good. And I'm like, man, it kind of inspired me. So expand a little bit on like how you've seen raising your standards. And then we both got to go speak in a second so we can hit maybe three principles or something.
Sure. But yeah, I'm glad you brought it up. And yeah, like you said, it's probably going to annoy a lot of people, but I don't really care, because it's just what it's my standards of my life. And I personally feel like most people live lives of quiet desperation, right? There's a quote that says that. It's like, you know, people don't actually live to their full potential. And so I've just defined, so I do a lot of self-reflection, which is why I have principles, which is why I journal every day. And I've just defined that I know that I am happier when, for example, I have natural light. I know that I'm happier when I'm staying in a nice place. I know that I'm happier when I'm doing dinner at a nice place with great people I can learn from. These are all like principles I have and part of my life manifesto. And so because I know these things and they're documented of my principles, and that's what principles are, they're systems. They're like, okay, you've already learned this is the truth about your, it's a law. You know this about your life. And so if you already know this, instead of just having to think and guess, oh, should I stay here? Should I not? When I went to the hotel, and just to give Omni credit, they're like doing renovations, so I'm not going to trash talk them. But yeah, I went there and went to the hallway and went to the room, and I won't go into depth, but
the hallway kind of smelled.
The hallway kind of smelled. The mirror was scratched. It was varnished. The wood was scratched. And like, I literally dropped my bag and I had traveled all day. I had done three podcasts that day, and it would have been so much easier just to literally pass out. Like that was the plan, just to go to sleep. And I just like and I also, you know, I'm fortunate that the people that are having us speak at this event, they were paying for it. And I knew that if I went somewhere else, I was going to have to pay it out of my pocket. And so,
which, by the way, that was what inspired me.
Oh, really?
Well, just the simple fact, because you had a free room or covered, but you opted out of the free room to pay your own money to live up to your principles.
Yeah. And so I just was
that's a different way of thinking.
I just was like, you know what? Like this is how you had said it so perfectly. And that's one of my principles. How you do one thing is how you do everything. And I was just like, all right, I'm going to make the move. And so I went over there and so many things worked out well. They have like a Cadillac program at this hotel I went to. I haven't had to rent a car or do Uber. I've been just riding around this brand new Cadillac everywhere. I had a great conversation with a guy yesterday.
The hotel breakfast. Has a Cadillac program.
Yeah. So like, yeah, I haven't had to pay for Ubers anywhere. Like it's been nuts, but, I know I'm way happier, and I knew that that relates to a lot of areas of my life. But like you said, we have to speak. So I guess you wanted me to read a few of these. So I'm just going to rip through like two or three real quick. So here are the principles. I read this every day and I've written these down. Some of these are mine. Some of these I've gotten from somewhere else. So I'll just read them in order of a few of these. So number one, the quality of life is determined by the quality of my decisions. Number two, the quality of my decisions is determined by energy. Number three, my energy is determined by my priorities, my sleep, and the food that I eat. Number four, in order to test the quality of my decisions, I must ask myself, does this choice enlarge me or diminish me? Don't always seek what will make you the happiest, as they may be a short-term pleasure and not best for my long-term self. The greatest joy in life comes from progress. There's no material thing that even can come close. I've tried to coast before and I did not enjoy it. What you say to yourself matters. This includes what you feed your brain, TV, music, social media, et cetera, et cetera. Your brain doesn't know the difference between the two. Constraints are what makes life more enjoyable. Almost anyone can do anything, but doing things with less than others makes life much more fun. Deal with reality, don't hide from it. Time is our most valuable asset, so I must protect it. Identify the disease, not the symptoms. Things are neither good nor bad, but thinking makes them so. I always prioritize demanding activity over passive consumption. Speak slowly with intention and practice temperance. How you do one thing is how you do everything. Making money is easy, don't make it hard. My anger or sadness typically stems from an assumption that I have no options or an assumption that I don't know the right option to pick. Our comfortability is literally killing us on a cellular level. If it's not going to grow on its own, it's not worth doing. Always take into account someone's believability and their ability to articulate their points. And I'll do another one. Don't hold opinions on things I know little to nothing about.
Man, I mean, that was I think we'll see the audience retention curve step up. Yes, you got to re-listen to it, capture some of those. There was a lot of wisdom in there. But yeah, respect, we do it. Literally, we're going to prepare to speak in 20 minutes or whatever. We should get in the right mindset. So Ravi, tell us where we can connect with you. People could follow you online, where you're active. We'll link it up in the show notes.
Sure. Thank you again for having me on. This was awesome. I loved driving before we did this. And yeah, for me, you can go look me up anywhere online. Ravi Bhavala, R-A-V-I-A-B-U-V-A-L-A. Like we were saying, I have a bunch of great content on YouTube. And my company is called Scaling with Systems. So you can also check out our website there if you need help growing your business.
Well, I appreciate you. Thanks for sharing your wisdom. And thanks for being you. I mean, that one of the coolest things is you're being you. And it's inspiring me to raise my level, raise my standards. And I think it can encourage some of our community as well. Think Media Podcast, like, rate, share, subscribe if you're not subscribed. My name is Sean Cannell, your guide to building a profitable YouTube channel. And let's connect in the next episode.